You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
A lot of intrigue. Number one goes down. Let's go through the top 12, Greg.
All right, so going through this week's rankings, I really got a sense of teams being divided into these blocks. And I usually talk about bottom four, the middle four, and the top four. A little different between them. The blocks aren't the same size, but we'll start around here and get to our first block, which I think is 8 through 12. You could argue that, you know, 9 should be 12 or 11 should be 8 or 10 is just right.
Yeah.
Anywhere there, I think a lot of these teams can be jumbled.
A little interchangeable.
Sure.
Number 12, new friend in the rankings, LSU.
Oh, not Indiana. They're undefeated.
A win over a team that beat Tennessee in the same environment at Arkansas. Combine that with the Ole Miss win, they're starting to build this resume.
They got
Texas A&M coming up next. And I anticipate if LSU were to win that game, they would vault past Notre Dame with a common win at Texas A&M.
Yeah.
And a better resume. And the added resume that LSU has, adding these wins in the SEC.
They've lost week one and have won every game since. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't forget about them.
Number 11, Clemson. Keep cruising. They beat Virginia, another 40-plus point game. Every win gives them a little bit more cushion in what looks like is going to be a Clemson-Miami ACC title game if everything kind of goes according to plan here.
Yep.
Number 10, staying put at 10, we got Texas A&M. And Texas A&M, we did mention earlier, they have this week the Greg Palm Game of the Week.
Ooh.
Hosting LSU. The loser's not going to be eliminated from playoff consideration, but they're going to be out of Greg Palm next week, and it's going to allow an opening for a team that maybe they've been mentioned before 2 minutes ago. Maybe it's another team that's kind of on the periphery waiting to pounce.
And that team that was mentioned a few minutes ago is going to be down their quarterback. He's out indefinitely with a thumb injury. See how much that affects him.
Number 9, Tennessee. Huge win at home against Alabama. They got a bye coming up. That Bama win cuts them in line. Ahead of Texas A&M, I vaulted them ahead of the Aggies. Big thing to look at for Tennessee is the game at Georgia, November 16th.
There's a couple ways of looking at Georgia. On one hand, I feel like they haven't gotten enough from their young quarterback. And I feel like there's more there that they haven't tapped into yet, but they don't have much margin for error moving forward. They got to go play Georgia at Georgia this season, and they may end up right on the edge of the playoff.
And I think what that Tennessee win does against Alabama is put them in the playoff, barring the unexpected.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
All right, number 8, the last one in this group here of 5, Notre Dame. Neutral site game against Navy. They're coming off of a road neutral game against Georgia Tech at the Benz in Atlanta. Remember, they've given A&M their only loss, plus they have the Louisville win. And Georgia Tech, they're a 5-win team already, so that's not a win to necessarily sneeze at for Notre Dame. So that's where I got 8 through 12, kind of combining, looking at those teams. I think what I eventually had me have Notre Dame ahead of a team like LSU is the win at Texas A&M.
Yeah, sure. And it's interesting because we talk about Army-Navy, not in regards to the top 12, but they both have that common opponent, Notre Dame. And this is the first opportunity to see one of the service academies against a big-time opponent.
And one thing I do want to mention here really quickly before we move on, the idea of the transitive win, A greater than B, B greater than C in a game.
Right.
That is data that is important, but I do not find it binding, as in I do not feel compelled to rank C over A with the same number
Correct.
Of losses.
Yes.
All right, number 7, taking a tumble, the Texas Longhorns at 6-1.
Wow.
This again, once again, is the next block of teams about 5 through 7 where you can interchange them and have an argument for either way. Never had the Georgia game on their terms, really got outclassed from the start. And the downside about Texas now is that the wins are becoming devalued a little bit. Michigan, we've all seen what Michigan's done.
Huh.
Oklahoma is struggling in the SEC. Yep. Mississippi State is the worst team in the conference. So Texas is really, the resume is failing them a little bit here.
Yeah, but they got to go to Vandy. I mean, nobody just walks into Vandy.
Well, they are going to have the ears up after Vandy beat Alabama in Nashville. Number six, Miami. All right, so they're playing Florida State this week. And, oh, what a time we've come since Keith Jackson saying, this might be for the national championship. And Miami now playing a one-win Florida State team. Solid win at Louisville for Miami. A look ahead for them. They have Duke, 6-1. At home, and they end the season at 5-1 Syracuse. So there still are opportunities for Miami to A, trip themselves up, or B, bolster their resume. The more games that they can add, a little more heft to their resume for every win that they have.
The only question I have about Miami is not their offense. They're explosive. It's defensively. When they've started playing better teams, Virginia Tech, they gave up 34. We know what happened to Cal. It was an amazing comeback, but they gave up 38. And against Louisville, they gave up 45.
Number five, BYU. It's 7-0. Now, they took a bit of a jump here in the rankings from 8 last week to 5 here. A reevaluation and a value in handing teams their only loss. They are one of only 2 teams in the country that is undefeated and has given two other teams, their only loss of the season. K-State's only loss is to BYU. SMU's only loss is to BYU. There's only one other team that I can say that about. We'll get to them momentarily. Number four, still Penn State. Valuing their overall performance and consistency. And remember, they give Illinois their only loss of the season. Still have Ohio State at number 3 in the country. Both Ohio State and Penn State coming off of bye last week. Ohio State will play Nebraska this week. At Penn State in 2 weeks, Indiana before the U of M game will be very telling for this team, whether they get that Oregon rematch in Indianapolis or not. Number 2, Georgia. That is their 100 game. They still have the best fastball in college football. Even I was doubting how well Georgia was as a whole. They showed it at Texas. The ceiling is gone from Georgia. Alabama's loss kind of removes this cap from Georgia. They can float up the rankings. They are up from number 7 up all the way to number 2 now. A lot of that is Alabama's loss to Tennessee. They are the only team in Greg Palm with 2 Greg Palm wins. That's Clemson and Texas.
Good point.
And finally, number 1, the Oregon Ducks. Think about what they did. Big home win, a short week. You're traveling to the middle of nowhere, Indiana, getting the full Big Ten experience against a historically plucky underdog. Mm-hmm. John Jansen's in the audience, as is Doug Karsh. And you win 35-0. No problem for Oregon in that game. They are the second undefeated team to give 2 teams their only loss, those being Ohio State and Boise State. That's why I've got the Ducks number 1.
You know what? As a fan in the stands, they were up 21-0, and I kept Doug and Lucy and I were talking about how good Oregon may or may not be. I kept feeling like they were going to put the nail in the coffin and have some explosive plays. They never did. They didn't need to, but kind of felt like they left the door open, but Purdue's such a bad team.
Yeah, 21-0 is all the nails you need.
It is. I mean, 7-0 would have been all the nail they needed because Purdue couldn't move the ball at all.
Yeah, to me, headlines are Bama falls.
Reliably.
Yes. Bama falls out of Greg Palm. And again, 2 losses, no issue. Couple undefeated teams, probably, and I know you don't like to give who's on the outside, but we could all draw the conclusion. Iowa State undefeated in the AP top 10 has to be lurking. Indiana 7-0, I know the quarterback injury, lurking as well, undefeated.
It'll be very telling this week. Does Indiana have any type of depth? That's always been the issue. Is they could put out 22 really good players. Defensively, at times, they've been good. Offensively, they've been explosive. But if you have a major injury, and obviously a quarterback, we talk about it in the NFL all the time, you lose your quarterback, your season's pretty much over. It's a little bit different in college football. I'm curious as to what Cignetti will do and how this team will respond without their quarterback.
Pitt also undefeated. Keep an eye on them. That's Greg Palm. It's our college football top 12. It's 97.1.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.